You came today thinking that you would hear a Easter message. You will be surprised how far this is from an Easter message. But it convicted my heart this week, and when it does that, I don't want to keep it to myself. So let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Now, every word of God is pure. Amen?
Amen.
We don't think that some are pure and some can be just, you know, left alone. We like all of God's word. We like to see what God wants us to do in every part of his word. We are God's people. We believe God. We want to be right with God. And we want to do what God would have us to do. Amen? So, I'm just giving everybody the benefit of the doubt that that's what you want too. And if the Bible is true, and I believe that it is, there is a devil. And he hates you. And he hates God, and he hates the Bible. And he hates every attempt that anybody ever makes to try and live a Christian life. And the devil, you know, apart from the Trinity, apart from the Father, apart from the Word and the Holy Ghost, the devil is the wisest, most cunning, most crafty, most intelligent being in this universe. And if the devil can do anything to stop you from getting saved, he'll do that. And if you are saved, if he can do anything to keep you from living a Christian life, he'll do that. If he can do anything to tear apart your home, to destroy your children, to wreck your church, to take away your zeal and your desire to serve God, that's what he's going to do. Amen? Now, what I'm going to show you this afternoon, if you'll listen with a desire to know what God thinks about something that you're spending your time doing, and believe what God says, you'll be moved by what you learn this afternoon. You'll get on your knees in tears and repent and pray to the Lord for forgiveness, and you'll ask him to enable you to do the right thing so that you can get as close to him as you possibly can. You saw, we read in Chronicles there about the dedication of the temple. God said, you do right, I'll be there, I'll hear your prayers. You don't do right, you got a deaf ear. I'm not there. I'm not hearing you. You want God in your house? You want his blessings in your house? You want God to hear your prayers from your house? Might need to do something to make sure that takes place. And I hate to even preach this today because I know it's going to break my heart to see that the majority of you who are older and wiser and who know enough verses to justify things, you're just going to harden your hearts and rebel against God's word. That's not a prophecy. That's just an educated guess based on experience. And I wish it wasn't so. And I hope it's not so. I hope I'm wrong. There's one time I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm dead wrong about that this afternoon. This is a message that most preachers don't want to ever have to preach because it touches on something that has become such a part of our human society that today that most people couldn't imagine doing without it or living without it, even if they know it's a stumbling block to their spiritual growth and their relationship to the Lord. But you probably figured out by now, I'm not one to avoid a topic if there's something that I know is harming you or might be harming you. And the Holy Scriptures so clearly condemn it as well. So I'll ask you to please bear with me. Open your hearts to hear the Lord's wisdom, not Bob's wisdom. And be prepared to take the necessary action, as I will too. I'm just as guilty as the next man. And I want God to hear my prayers. So be ready to take whatever action you know that you need to make. And make things right so that you can enjoy all the blessings that God wants you to have and so that you can be a blessing to others. I know you want that. Okay, if you're here for the first time and or you haven't been here for a while, but you decided to come today, God knew exactly what day to bring you here. I'll just say that. So you take it up with the Lord. That's between you and Him. Now, I'm going to preach to you this afternoon about the greatest enemy of your soul. If you're a saved, born-again child of God, I'm going to preach to you today about the greatest tool, the greatest weapon that the devil has in his entire arsenal, if you're a Christian. The greatest thing that the devil uses to keep you from living for God. And if you'll take it to heart, this is the only sermon you'll ever need on the television. And my wife said I need to make sure and include the internet or the social media, because that's even getting more used by people, especially the young people, than the TV. They're walking away from the TV, and now they got those images and things in their hand. They take it everywhere they need to go. So that's going to be just right in there. It's going to be just as harmful, maybe even more. So you take it or leave it, and this will be God's work, and this will be all that needs to be said about this, okay? I've been preaching now for 29 years, and I've only preached on this subject twice, and once was 12 years ago, and the last time I think it was about 8 years ago. And if you'll receive this and take it to heart, I'll never preach on it again, because either I'll have left Kuwait or I'm with the Lord, so I'll never have to. But this will be all that will ever need to be said, all right? So some of you, you're nervous already, and I'm not preaching at any particular person. I'm not preaching at you. I'm not preaching, certainly not preaching to hurt you. I'm not in any way going to try and offend you or make you angry or hurt your feelings. I'm here today praying that God Almighty will help me to help you. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to help, not to hurt you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want you to hear our prayers. We do want to have a sweet fellowship with you. We don't want anything that the devil has placed in our path to interfere with our relationship with you. And so we pray, Lord, you'd help us to take to heart the things that we learn from the Word of God today and make the necessary adjustments in our day-to-day activities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 15. Look at verse number 15. 15:15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? Okay, now this is it's just a fixed law in God's creation. God made you. God put you together. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fashioned by God. Your body works in a certain way according to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said things that go into your mouth, they go from your mouth to where? To your belly. And then they're passed out into the draft. That's what God said. Okay, God made the body. God knows how it works. It works the way God says it works. That's the way it works. What goes in your mouth goes in your belly, goes out the draft. Okay, now look at Lamentation chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And then we'll be back to Matthew in chapter 6. Lamentation chapter 3 and verse number 51. Very important verse. Lamentation 3 verse 51. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Okay? And then Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. Don't forget what we just read there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now it is also a fixed law, established by the God who made the body and the God who knows how the body works, that what goes in your eye goes to your heart. What goes in your eye goes to your heart. Just as surely as what goes in your mouth goes to your belly, according to God, what goes to your eye goes to your heart, according to God. Also, according to God, what goes in your belly is then passed out through the draft. And what goes in your eye and through your heart, according to God, goes out into the rest of your body. Matthew chapter 6, we just read. Now, people all the time are worried about, I'm not going to eat this because it'll mess up my mind. I'm not going to eat this because it'll mess up my body. And I'm not going to eat this because it'll mess up my health. God said, don't worry about that stuff. That stuff goes in the belly and it goes out the draft. What you need to be concerned about is what goes in your eye. Because that's what goes to your heart, your mind, your hands, your feet. Every part of your body is influenced directly by what goes in your eye. Jesus Christ said, if what goes in your eye is light, then your hands, your feet, your tongue, your mind, your ears will all be influenced and controlled, the Bible says, affected by the light. And if what goes in your eyes is darkness, then every part of you is going to be affected by that darkness. All right, that's what Jesus said. All right, what is light? Jesus is the light. God is the light. His word is the light. Amen? If that's what goes in your eye, then bless God. That's what's going to affect your life. That's what's going to control your life. If what goes in your eye is something other than God and God's word, then your life is going to be directly affected by that, whatever it is. There isn't any two ways about that. That's clear to see. It's true according to God's word. It can't be any other way. Okay, look at Psalm number 101. Psalm 101. Now pray and ask God to give you the grace not to start arguing before you hear what the Bible has to say. Amen. Psalm 101 and verse number 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. All right? So where is the setting? Where's the scene? The scene is in my house. God isn't asking you today to be concerned about my house or your neighbor's house or somebody's house that you used to know or a preacher's house that you were in one time. It's your house that God wants you to be concerned about. This man says, I will walk in my house with a perfect heart. All right? Now, if your heart is affected by what you see with your eyes, the only way your heart can be perfect is if the object that you set your eyes upon is perfect. If you set your eyes upon imperfection, God said, what hits your eyes is going to go right to your heart. And you can't have a perfect heart if what you're looking on is not perfect. What does he say in verse number 3? I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. All right, well, let's pick this verse apart. Let's be real careful about this. Keep in mind, the devil is going to try and deceive you into thinking that I'm just exaggerating or I'm misinterpreting or that it's really not that important. Okay? God will not allow the devil to deceive you if you believe the Bible. Okay? God will not allow him to trick you if you believe the Bible. God will not allow the devil to get advantage over you if you believe the Bible. God has ordained that Satan has to work in such a way as to reveal himself and reveal his work to anyone who will believe the Bible. You know what they call that thing in your living room? They call it a television what?
Set.
Why did they call it a television set? Because the Bible says in the book of Psalms, we just read it, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. So why didn't they call it a television machine? Why didn't they call it a television device? Why didn't they call it a television appliance? Why did they call it a television set? Because this Bible runs the universe. Satan can't do anything that doesn't line up with the Bible. He can't do it. He's bound by this word. And he has to work in accordance with God's word. Verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now the rest of the verse says this, I hate the work of them that turn aside. Okay. Well, let me ask you something. That Hollywood crowd, okay, the actors, the actresses, the stars, the movie crowd, the TV crowd, the film crowd, are they walking God's way? Or have they turned aside into sin, into wickedness, into devilment? Say, well, those people, they don't love God. They don't believe God. They don't fear God. They don't worship God. They certainly don't live by God's Bible. You know what those programs are? Those programs are the work of them that turn aside. This man said right here, he said, I hate their work. I hate their work. I hate it. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 2. So this is going beyond the TV, isn't it? It's going to the movies, movie theaters. Ephesians chapter 2. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Why? I want my heart to be perfect. What I see with my eyes affects my heart. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Satan, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2, is called the prince. That means he has the oversight. He has the control. He has the authority. He is the prince of the power of the air. There is a power. There's power in the air. Amen? There's power in the air. Now, do you know how that TV program gets into your house? Do you know how that streaming stuff gets into your cell phone? Either it travels from a TV station through the air, and then it gets passed through several transmission towers from tower to tower until it finally comes to an antenna in your house or a router in your house, or it gets transmitted all the way up into outer space. It's received by a satellite that's orbiting the Earth, and then it gets retransmitted back down to the Earth where it can be received by the satellite dish on your rooftop or in your backyard or to the cell tower and then to your router. So the purpose of all those towers, antennas, and satellites, satellite dishes, routers, is to link up with the power that's floating through the air. And to draw all that power that's floating through the air down into that set in your living room so that those images and those pictures and those programs and that those teachings and those works and those works of those who turn aside can be beamed right into your living room or right into the palm of your hand. You know what that stuff is? That stuff is up in the air. It's up in the air. When you get a TV set, you know the first thing you got to do? You got to put up an antenna up there in the air. You know why? Because the stuff you want to beam into your living room, it's floating through the air. Okay? Do you know why? Because the stuff that you want to beam into your living room is floating. It's in the air, and even if it's the streaming stuff, it's got to go through the air to get to that router, right? You say, well, how do we know what's up there? How do we control it? How do they get from there to there to there to there to there? How does all that stuff work? Well, don't ask a physicist. He doesn't understand it. All he knows is somehow they've figured out a way to link up with the power that's floating out throughout the air and draw it down into people's living rooms. Do you know who is the prince of the power of the air? It's not Jesus Christ. Well, that only leaves one other possibility. There's only two powers. There's Jesus and there's the devil. Amen? Now, get two places in your Bible. Get Numbers 33 and Exodus 23. Numbers 33 and Exodus 23. Now, the children of Israel, they're down in bondage in Egypt. God comes down, and you know what happened? The lamb was slain. They put the blood on the doorpost, and God led them out. Amen? He led them through the Red Sea. He led them out into the wilderness, and they're out there in that wilderness. They're on their way to the promised land. Well, the promised land is being inhabited by Canaanites. It's being inhabited by wicked, ungodly, abominable, filthy people. You can't imagine. You get to reading through that law. You know what God said? He said, when you come into this land, I want you to kill the men because they're wicked. I want you to kill the women because they're wicked. I want you to kill the children because they've already been practicing the wickedness with their own mamas and daddies. I want you to even kill the beasts, the animals, because those people have been committing wickedness and defiled, wicked, filthy practices with animals down there. So God said, when you go in there, I want you to destroy their cities. I want you to destroy the people and this and that and the other thing. Look at Numbers chapter 33 and verse number 51. God says this, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. You know what God said? God said, when you go in there, not only do I want you not to have anything to do with those people, not only do I want you not to marry up with those people, not only do I not want you to live amongst those people, but I want you to get rid of the pictures that belong to those people. I don't want their pictures influencing you. Now listen, you know as well as I do that Hollywood crowd is the most ungodly, wicked, filthy, depraved bunch of peoples, and it's Hollywood, so it's in America. You know that. And you know, the stuff that they put out couldn't be any different than what they are. And you know what those things are that come in that set that you pull down, pull those airwaves into through your satellite dish or whatever? They're pictures. And those things that come down out of the air, they don't belong to God. They don't belong to Jesus Christ. They don't belong to the Holy Spirit. They don't belong to God's church. You know what God said? God said, destroy their pictures. Why? Because what you see with your eyes goes right to your heart, and it affects the way you live. It can't help it. It can't help that to be so. That's what it is. You know something? In our society today, kids are learning stuff they ought not to know. I mean, parents, you got to keep an eye on them, don't you? You're giving them a cell phone at 3 years old, 4 years old. You better keep an eye on them because they have access to anything that they shouldn't know. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm not all that old, and I grew up in a public school. And when I was 12, 13 years old, I thought you got cooties from girls. Okay, I thought girls were gross. They're yucky. Okay? And if somebody would have said, do people in your sixth grade class have sex with each other? I wouldn't have even known what they were talking about. In a public school back then. Okay? Now you got children today in grade school. They know about all about getting drunk. They know about smoking dope. They know about sexual activity. They got the language of a sailor. They got the vocabulary of a prostitute. Where did they learn that stuff? They learned from watching pictures, moving pictures. Now, you know something? A child that's raised on TV thinks that the answer to every problem in life, if you're a woman, is they think it's to pull your clothes off and to seduce the man to get what you want. And if you're a man, it's to pull out your gun and to blow somebody's brains out. That's how they resolve conflicts on TV. And if a woman wants something, she commits fornication and adultery. If the man wants something, he pulls out a gun and shoots somebody. I don't believe that's God's philosophy. How about you? Yeah, I don't believe that's a proper way of solving problems. Do you? You know something? If your kids grow up watching that TV, they're going to think that the best potato chips are the ones that's got the woman selling them with the least clothes on. Okay? Amen. You got to have a half-dressed woman to sell a car, to sell a vacuum cleaner, to sell a toaster. You can't sell anything without a prostitute on that thing. You can't watch that stuff and not be affected by it. You can't watch that stuff and not be influenced by it. Look, there's no way, gentlemen, there's no way you can look at those painted-up prostitutes on that TV and then turn and look at your dear, sweet old wife with her hands down in the kitchen sink and have the least desire toward her. You can't do it. It's just not possible. Your eye is going to affect your heart. You sit there, you know, looking at those pictures of those women on that screen. You know. And then you turn to your dear, sweet wife sitting over there reading the Bible and praying and... Don't you tell me the devil's not going to sit on your shoulder and say, oh boy, is that your wife? Is that, you know, you don't think you can do a little better than that? You know, no, you can't. Put your foot through that stinking thing. Okay, ladies, you too. Those men on that TV, boy, they bring home the roses, they bring home the gifts, they bring home the new cars, and they're making all kinds of money. And there isn't one of them making nothing. Those are props that they got out of a movie warehouse. You know what? Do you know why your husband doesn't bring home roses? Because he had to buy groceries. You know why he doesn't bring home boxes of candy? He's trying to help you out. You know why he doesn't take you out in the evening? Well, because he's tired. He had to work. It's a bunch of lies. It's a bunch of wickedness. And it will erode, watching that stuff will erode your marriage. It'll give you expectations that shouldn't be there. It'll erode your love for one another. Your husband is never going to be like those guys. Your wife is never going to be like those women. They're not that way either, by the way. Every one of them has been divorced 6 times. Why'd they get divorced? Why are they taking pills? Why are they staying drunk? Why are they committing suicide? Because the life that they're portraying on that screen is not the real world. And it will influence you. It'll influence you. I tell you, you can take this thing all the way back. You say, well, TV programs used to be good. The programs used to be clean. Programs used to be decent. Back when they were black and white, right? You know why? You know who has done more to destroy womanhood in America than anyone the devil has ever raised up? Believe it or not, it's Lucy. I Love Lucy, right? That show was way back in 1951 to 1960. And Lucy's the one who made it popular to talk back to your husband and mouth off at him. Lucy made it popular to sneak around behind the husband's back. Lucy made it popular to smoke cigarettes. Lucy made it popular to wear breeches, pants for the woman. They never, never showed two people in a bedroom together back then until Lucy came along. You say, oh, those are the good old days. Those good old days eroded. That's where that erosion started, eroded the homes of America, at least. You say, well, I like back when they had good shows and clean shows and decent shows. You know what? People who grew up in my generation, if you asked them today, they couldn't sing the words to I Love to Tell the Story. They couldn't sing The Old Rugged Cross. They couldn't sing Tell Me the Story of Jesus. But they could probably sing the theme song to Gilligan's Island. You know what you learn on Gilligan's Island? This might be before your time. But on that show, you learned that the man in authority is a dunce. He's stupid. Yeah, if you wanted something, you had to have money. That's what you learned, like the millionaire on that show. You had to be a harlot, like the movie star that was there. You had to have an education, like the professor. Okay, you say, well, oh, those are good shows. They're funny shows. Those shows eroded the family. And the people sat there and laughed. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, that's so funny. That won't hurt me. That won't hurt me. It went in your eyes, and it went right to your heart, and it did hurt you. The most popular show that was ever created was by a wicked, ungodly, liberal woman's lib pusher named Alan Alda. And that show was called MASH. That show was the most pro-communist, anti-American, anti-authority program that ever hit the airwaves. You say, well, but it was funny. It was funny. It was so funny. Yeah, people laugh all the way to hell. Did you know that? God said, destroy their pictures. And I'm not talking about the X-rated stuff. I'm not even talking about the R-rated stuff. I'm not talking necessarily about all the filth that you can freely get on that screen. We might get into that later. I'm telling you, the stuff those people turn out was not designed to draw you to Jesus Christ, certainly. I don't think I even have to mention the sin operas, I call them. Soap operas, I call them sin operas. Shouldn't have to say a word on that. That's like, oh dear, I hear you got married. Oh, yeah, I did, but it wasn't to him. Well, why didn't you marry him? Well, because he was with her. Well, why was he with her? Well, because she wasn't with him anymore. Well, why wasn't she with him anymore? Well, because he was with someone else after she left so-and-so because she got caught in the very act with him. How do you keep track of that stuff? You watch that through the 50s. You watch that through the 60s. And through the 70s. And by the time of the 1980s roll around, people have no conscience about it, about divorce and remarriage and adultery and trading partners and any of that stuff. It doesn't bother you a bit. You say, why? Because what they saw with their eyes affected their heart and it took hold of their lives. It influenced an entire nation of people. In Exodus now, chapter 23, look at verse number 24. Exodus 23, verse 24. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. Now, this isn't going to apply to a lot of you because your backs aren't as limber as they used to be. And if you lie down on the couch, you're probably going to be stuck there till the morning. For some people, it would take a crane or a hydraulic lift to get you off of that thing. But I'll tell you something. You are the head of your household, and you are responsible for your children and what they see. Okay? And you're going to answer to God for your children. You know, you hear all this preaching about the age of accountability. The age of accountability. You know what God said in his Bible? You know what he said in his law? According to God in the Bible, you know what the age of accountability is? 20. Until a son or a daughter turns 20 years old, their mama and their daddy are obligated to give account to God for what that child of theirs does. That's right. Now, do you know what happens? Your kids, they come home, and the Bible's laying there. Books about God are laying there. Daddy's there. He's saved. He could teach them the word. Mommy's there. She's saved. She could teach them the word. But then over here you have a set, okay, that pulls pictures down out of the airwaves. Well, Daddy's busy. Mama's busy. The Bible's busy collecting dust. The books are busy. They're feeding the termites. And so what the child does is he turns on the TV set and sits down. You know this is true. I know it's true because that's what I used to do. turns on that TV, sits down, and then 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and it won't be a half hour, and that kid will be on the floor, face down on the floor, laying there holding their head up with their hands, bowed down in front of those images. Just telling you the truth, because that's what I used to do. What's in that box? Images. What's your child doing on that living room floor, bowing down in front of those images? Okay? And their eyes, they're wide open. They're Google-eyed. They're mesmerized. So you say, son, what? You know why he didn't hear you the first time? Because he's being taught. He's being instructed. His heart is being filled with the images that he's looking at. You say, Brother Bob, my boy talks back to me. What can I do about it? Take away the people that are teaching him to talk back. You say, my daughter, my son, they're getting out of control. They're getting a little wild. They're getting a kind of rebellious. What can I do about it? Stop sending them to school in Hollywood. They're going to do what they see. They're going to learn what they're taught. They're being taught. You say, well, who's teaching them? Nobody's teaching them. Oh, yes, somebody's teaching them. That Mr. Movie Star, that Little Miss Movie Star, they're the ones teaching them all that stuff. They're being taught. You say, I grabbed my kids and I said, where did you learn that? You learned it in the living room. Okay? Where did you learn to say that? In the living room. Where did you learn to act like that? In the living room. Where did you learn to think like that? In the living room. In your living room. God have mercy. You are responsible, and you will give account. You know, it's funny how indoctrinated we are. Saved Christian parents, they say, well, my boy and my girl, if they don't do this or that, they're just not going to fit in. Good, I say. they're just not going to be able to get along out there in the world. Good. They just won't have any friends out there in the world. Wonderful. Do you want your child to fit in with the world? Do you want them to be able to get along with the world? Do you want them to be accepted by the world? Well, they can be and they will be if you just let the world fill their heart and their mind. Now turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 1. Because I've realized that all the murders you've seen, you have no intention of murdering anybody, and you probably never will. And all the rapes and all the cussing and all that kind of stuff, you don't have any intention on ever doing those things. And thank God for it. And you say, well, it hasn't affected me. It hasn't hurt me. I don't do those things, and I don't live that way. Well, all right, let's see what God says here. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Starting to sound like a TV guide, isn't it? That's what you see on the TV. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know what God said there? God brings all this Hollywood crowd in. He brings all this worldly crowd in. He says, those people right there, they deserve my judgment, and they're going to get it. And then God turns to the people who wouldn't dare do those things that they see on TV, and he says, and those of you who take pleasure in watching others do those wicked things, you deserve my judgment, and you're going to get it. So I don't see what the harm is just watching it for entertainment purposes. We know it's not real. It's just acting. That's their job. They have to earn a living too. All right. Tell me what you would think. Think about this. Tell me what you would think if you went to the mall and you saw me in the middle of the mall up on a platform, half undressed, with a woman in my arms, half undressed. And I didn't know who she was, and she didn't know who I was, and we just got our hands all over each other. We're just necking like there's no tomorrow. Brother, I ask you something. Would you be shocked? Would you be offended? Would you? You know you would. I would be. Okay. And you start to walk out, and I say, "Oh no, wait! It's not real. Somebody's just taking pictures of us, and we're getting paid to do this. It's not real." What difference does that make? You say that would be wrong for you to do that, Brother Bob. Then why is it right for those stinking actors on that boob tube to do it? They don't know each other. They're not married to each other. They don't love each other. They're paid prostitutes. And you find pleasure in that. You say it's drama. It's realism. It's exciting. It speaks to my heart. Then you ought to repent. Amen. It's not right. It's not right. It couldn't possibly be right. And the fact that we find pleasure in movie stars and not in prophets, the fact that we find pleasure in TV programs and not in the Bible, the fact that we find pleasure in ball games and not in witnessing, testifies to the condition of our hearts. It's not right. Couldn't possibly be right. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. What should we be setting our eyes upon? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Okay, then you can't be talking about any drama or any fiction. Out it goes right there. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Well, out goes 99% of all of the political and social commentaries. Whatsoever things are just. Well, there went your religious programming right there. Whatsoever things are pure. Now what? You'd have to just unplug the thing, wouldn't you? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Well, there goes the news reports, right? And not much good on there. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay? Now, without all the other, just the last statement, think on these things. Do you know that the thing that makes the television so harmful to Christians is that it occupies your mind with the wrong things, the wrong information? The news will get you thinking about what's going on in the world instead of what's going on in the body of Christ. The sporting events will get you thinking that it's important who wins a ball game rather than it's important who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. The financial report will get your mind all torn up thinking you got to trust the government or trust the bank or trust the economic system instead of trusting God. See, what it does, it takes your mind off what's true, off what's important, off what is real, off what's of value, and puts your mind on other things. You say, well, Brother Bob, sometimes I'm just worried and upset and nervous and tired, you know. I just turn it on to relax. I think God gave you a comforter, didn't he? And I don't think you have to plug him in. I don't think you need another comforter. I think you got one. You say, well, it calms me down. It settles me down. What are you so upset about? Jesus said, be careful for nothing. Cast all your care upon me. Trust in me. I think what it is, I think it's a silencer, don't you? That TV. I think if a room was all quiet and there wasn't anything to look at, there wasn't anything to listen to, I think the Holy Spirit of God would be free to start speaking to our hearts. And we might start getting nervous about things, like the lack of time we spend with our kids, or about the way we're treating our wife or treating our husband, about the time that we've let the Bible sit there and collect dust, about the things God told you to do that you haven't done. So we say, well, I think I better just turn that thing on and drown out that voice that's speaking to my conscience. I think that's what it is, don't you? Over there where I used to work, most of the men working there, they think it's absolutely essential to listen to music during the entire 8-hour shift. I don't think they could even function without that noise in their ear. I tell you, somebody must have a bad conscience if they can't stand 5 minutes of quiet. Amen. You know why people have to have that thing on? They need a comforter. They need a companion. They need fellowship. They need partnership. Everything God said he would be, people are finding it in that box or in that social media. And it's not right. It isn't right. You ever go out on visitation, you go into a home, and you try to talk to somebody about the Lord, and they got the TV on, and they don't even think to turn it off, that it might be a good idea to turn the thing off so they can talk to you? You can't have a conversation. I mean, you sit there and you say, it's good to be saved, isn't it? Yeah, good to be saved, good to be saved. Yeah. Great to know the Lord, isn't it? What'd you say? Oh, yeah, great, sure is. Have you ever seen this in the Bible? This verse right here. Look at this. You want to turn to this passage of Scripture? This verse right here. Oh, I'm sorry. What'd you say? You can't. They're not there. They're not with you. They are in that tube. You can't do it. They can't have fellowship with you and God while they're having fellowship with the prince of the power of the air. Can't do it. All right, Colossians chapter 1. This is a fact. A Christian who used to drink beer and likes the taste of beer, he doesn't keep beer in the house because if they did, that beer might get drunk. Okay? They might drink it. A Christian who used to smoke cigarettes, they don't keep a little bit hidden under the sofa because if it was there, those cigarettes might get smoked. Amen. And a Christian who knows that the TV occupies a great majority of their quiet time, and they know that they spend more time with the TV than they do with the Bible and with Christian activities, that's a Christian that ought to get that TV out of the house entirely. Because you know you're going to watch it simply because it's there. It's funny, people usually look at the Christians who don't have a TV in their house and they think, oh, that's some strong Christians there. No, probably not. They're just Christians who know that they're so weak that they better not dare even have it around. Every time you walk through that living room, that TV says, turn me on, turn me on, turn me on. And you might be able to fight the urge once or twice, but then you walk by one day and it says, turn me on. Turn me on, and you'll give in to its demands. It'll do that to you. You say, oh, come on, that thing won't speak to me. Oh, yeah, it does too. If you got one, you leave it off this evening. You'll sit there about 30 minutes, and it'll say, hey, there's a good movie on. And you'll look around, you'll say, who said that? There's a good movie on. Good movie on. Yeah, you know what? The world is going to hell, and your family's falling apart, and your children, God only knows where they are, but there's a good movie on. The best thing you could do is go over there, unplug it, open the window, and pitch it out there to the ground. It won't say another word. It'll never speak again. It won't rise from the dead. There's no life in it. All right, now in Colossians chapter 1, I want to talk to you about those good programs, those educational programs, those instructive programs. Colossians chapter 1, speaking of Jesus Christ, verse 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Amen. Jesus Christ deserves the absolute number one place in everything. You say, but it's a good program. Is Jesus preeminent? It's a decent program. Is Jesus preeminent? It's an educational program. Is Jesus preeminent? Is he given first place in that program? If he's not, it's not any good. Amen. You say, well, I can learn about guinea pigs and weasels and rats. Yeah, you can learn about 6 million years ago when they crawled out of the mud before they got their tail, before Charlie Darwin helped them to evolve and all that kind of stuff. And they don't give Jesus Christ the preeminence. I tell you, I'd fall out of my chair if I was ever in somebody's living room and Jacques Cousteau ever said, and there is the killer whale created by God Almighty to the praise of his glory. I wouldn't believe it. He wouldn't say that in 1,000 years. There isn't one geologist, one historian. You couldn't work for the National Geographic Society and not be an evolutionist. Couldn't do it. Now here's the giraffe, 60 million years ago before his neck was long enough to reach the trees. And he had to jump. And he got so tired of jumping that one day his neck stretched and grew until it evolved into what we see today. I wonder how in the world that giraffe stayed alive for 16 million years when he couldn't reach his food. You ever thought about some of that stuff? People, they just don't think. They say, but it's good, you learn things. But what you learn, it's not right. You say, well, most of what the devil told Eve was right too. But he told her just enough of a lie to damn her. Amen? Now people, they sit down and they look and they say, is that a good show? Does Jesus have the preeminence? Is that a good program? Does Jesus have the preeminence? Is he the most significant part of that program? You say, what about religious programs? All right, I'll tell you how you can tell. When they get all the way to the end of that program, if they say, send your money to the Lord Jesus Christ, then okay, fine. If they get to the end of the show and they say, send your money to, and then they give their name and their address, he's not preeminent. It's not his program. I mean, that's simple enough. God, they say, God wants your money. God wants you to give. God wants you to contribute. Send your money to Joe Smith. Joe Smith, I thought God wanted the money. Amen. They get on the radio, they say, we got to have money. We're going to go off the air if we don't get money. Praise God. Glory to God. Send your money. Praise God. Glory, hallelujah to God. We got to keep this ministry going. Send your money. Send your money. If God's not supporting it, unplug it. Just go off the air. If it's God's, God will support it. Now, in all things, he is to have the preeminence. I wonder how people ever got saved back in the book of Acts when there were no TV programs to watch. Amen? You say, well, if religious programming went off the air, what would we have? We might have street preaching. How about that? We might have door knocking. We might have churches growing. We might have lives being changed. We might have cities being turned upside down. That's what you read about in the book of Acts. And they didn't have any TV programs. Amen? Now, let's look at one more verse. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You know, you don't have to sit there very long watching that TV before it begins mesmerizing you. You sit there watching that thing, watching it. And the next thing you know, you're in a sort of a trance. And you're captivated. And so I'm telling you these things in meekness. I'm instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That's 2 Timothy 2:26. The devil's got you captivated, and I'm trying to expose his ways so that you can escape, so you can recover. If you ever read Zechariah chapter 11, you realize that the Antichrist has got one eye. Right? You read it? When you turn on that TV, there's not two screens there looking at you. It's just one. In America, CBS is one of the main TV stations. And you know what their logo is? It's one big eye. That's significant, you know? You know what the symbol for NBC TV is? It's an unclean bird, and their motto is proud as a peacock. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. So one last thing on this topic of the TV, and that is that the best thing you've got to do? Is that the best thing that you've got to do with your time? God gives you an hour. Have you prayed for everybody? Have you witnessed to everybody? Have you done all that God's told you to do? Have you taught your family everything there is in the Bible? Have you lived according to all of God's commands? Have you obeyed every instruction God's given you? If you haven't, then there are some things you need to do before you prop up in your easy chair and turn on that TV. God said, redeem the time. Don't waste it. Redeem the time. Use it. Make good use of it. Make the best use of it. And you know that is not the best use of your time. That is not the best thing you could be doing with the time that God has given you. I tell you, our life is brief. It's short. It's fleeting, the Bible says. Any one of us could be snuffed out tonight. I was almost killed this morning. I slipped in a puddle of water, went feet up in the air, splat. God saved me. Praise the Lord. But anyway, my wife wanted to take me to the doctor, but I said, I don't see anything wrong. But anyway, redeem the time. Use it. Because you don't know how long you have. Any one of us could draw our last breath this afternoon if God calls us home to glory. I hope and pray that when you stand before God that you won't have to admit that you spent more time watching TV than you did praying for souls. I hope when you stand before God you won't have spent more time watching TV than you did teaching your kids the Bible. I hope when you stand before God you won't have turned on more programs than you turned people to Jesus Christ. I hope to God you won't stand before him in any of those kind of conditions. Amen. Now I'll tell you, if we asked you, is Jesus Christ number one in your life? Well, yes, he is. Amen. Is he number one in your home? Yes, he is. Amen. Is he number one in your family? Yes, he is. Amen. I'll bet you five fills, if you got one of those TV sets, I bet you if I go in the room where that TV is, I bet you every chair in that room will be seated so that it faces that TV. And if a family comes in and sits down, Mama, she's not facing Daddy. Junior's not facing Sister. Sister's not facing Mama. Every one of them is facing what? The TV. Jesus Christ is not the center. That thing is the center. You say, well, not in my home. Yeah, I know. I did the same thing. You got convicted about 3 years ago, and instead of getting rid of it, you just kind of put it away so nobody could see it. It hadn't made its full-scale return yet, but it's just kind of hiding there in case somebody comes in that knows you used to have convictions about it. And you don't want them to see it. But you keep it around. It'll get right back out there in the center. You just wait. Amen? If a husband wants to talk to his wife, he's got to look in her ear. Because she's not facing him. She's facing that thing. If a wife wants to talk to her husband, she's got to look at his cheek. Why? He's not facing her. He's facing that thing. Amen? I tell you, just put the chairs all around the room, put the Bible right there in the middle, and when you sit there, you got to look at each other. You got to smile, you got to talk, you got to fellowship, you got to converse. Why? Because that other rascal's moved out. Amen. He doesn't live there anymore. That one that everybody spent all their time with, he doesn't live there anymore. Amen. Now, if you got saved, this is funny. If you got saved watching somebody preach on TV like I did, you can thank God for that. Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord, for turning my eyes to the gospel that day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, Now that you're saved, do what God would have you to do. Get rid of the stinking thing. But if you're going to keep it, if it's a TV with a tube, you can take out the tube, seal it up real good with some silicone, fill it with water, put some fish in there. Make an aquarium. Make a lamp table out of it. If it's a flat screen, use it for your computer monitor. But disconnect the antenna, get rid of your router, whatever. But listen, don't waste your time. Don't let somebody have the preeminence beside Jesus Christ. Don't be indoctrinated. Don't be controlled. Don't be influenced. Don't be led. I'll say one more thing to you. Listen, the greatest enemies of Christianity are TV and movie people. I mean, those are the people who oppose Christianity every time you hear them speaking freely. Okay? Those are the people who have given their voice against Christians and against God or against God's ways. Ed Asner, Alan Alda, Jane Fonda, Brad Pitt, George Clooney, Ellen the Degenerate, Bruce Willis, who said the Bible is a myth, and he thinks it's cool that we have the right to reject it, and God took his mind. Jodie Foster, who says, I don't believe in God, but we celebrate every religion with the kids in our family. Jim Carrey, who thinks people need to grow up and accept the homosexual lifestyle as normal behavior. Angelina Jolie, who said she doesn't need God because she thinks she is a God. I tell you, the people that are doing more to destroy Bible Christianity, more to take away your freedoms and your liberty to worship and to serve God than any other group or any other people anywhere, are TV and movie people. Amen. They hate you. They hate your family life. They hate your Bible. They hate your convictions. They hate your church. They hate your God. And I don't think those are the kind of people you ought to be having fellowship with. Amen? You've got God. You've got a Bible. You've got a church. You've got a ministry that God's given to you. You've got a whole world that's out there. They're going to hell. You don't have time for that thing. And the cost is too great. Don't let the devil win. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to believe you. Help us, Lord, to take your word to heart. Help us to make the Lord Jesus Christ preeminent in all our activities, in our whole life. Lord, help us to take whatever action is necessary that we might be better, be closer to you and more useful to you, and not let the devil have his way in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.